you're listening to Raining Diapers and Tears. I'm Nicole.
I'm Andy.
Last episode, we talked about the start of our relationship, conceiving our baby, and our pregnancy journey. On today's episode, we'll be talking about the birth of our baby. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you enjoyed our first episode. Now we're learning still, so the first episode might have been a little long. We're going to try to keep it around 45 minutes, right?
Yeah, so hopefully this episode will be much shorter than the previous one.
Yeah, and the more episodes we do, the better we'll get. I think it's like Eminem's album Recovery when he talks about in Cinderella Man. He says, fuck my last CD, that shit sits in the trash. Like, I feel like our first episode was kind of like that. Like, I'm not too proud of it. Are you?
Yeah, I feel like we could have done a much better job.
Yeah, so hopefully this episode's a little bit better.
Hopefully we'll redeem ourselves a little bit here.
Yeah, so now we're going to talk about basically the delivery of our baby.
Yeah.
Nicole mentioned that she had to be induced, I think, on our first episode. Either you did or I did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to talk about the process of that and why they decided you need to be induced.
Yeah, so like I mentioned in the previous episode, about halfway through the pregnancy, they started becoming a little concerned with the baby's growth and the size in there, and it continued to be an issue because I guess when the babies are around the 10th percentile or below, it's a little more concerning. And our baby, most of his measurements were around the 10th percentile or a little under there most of the time. So the doctors wanted me to get induced. I wanted to wait until I was closer to 41 weeks pregnant, but like I mentioned in the previous episode, I ended up agreeing to do the induction sooner than 41 weeks because I just didn't want to risk anything with the baby. So, yeah,
and I know that you were kind of like, I don't know, maybe nervous about being induced and you wanted to have basically, you know, the baby come naturally. I think that's the right way to say it, right? Naturally.
Yeah.
Where you're not like have a date, you know you're going to be induced and you know the baby's coming and just like have it happen during the night. Weren't you feeling that it was better to have yourself induced than maybe potentially wait a little bit longer and risk maybe health for the baby?
Yeah, I mean, now looking back on it, I definitely think it was better to just get the induction done because I was nervous about it, but it actually ended up being a much better process than I was expecting it to be or imagining it to be. So it really wasn't as bad as I was imagining it, and I don't think it was worth the risk waiting to go naturally.
No, I think you made the right decision. But so take us to that night, the night before the induction.
Yeah, so the night before the induction ended up being a very interesting night for us.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be like a celebratory night, you know? It's our last night truly together, just the two of us. We know you're going to go in and be induced. So it was supposed to be maybe like our last hurrah, I guess. But there was, what, a really big storm that came by?
Yeah, there was this huge storm. I forget what the name of this storm was.
But yeah, baby storm. It was I think a shutter knocked off one of our windows outside that I had to put back in on another date. But it was crazy wind. I remember the branches were flying around.
Yeah, our driveway was covered with branches, like twigs everywhere.
Yeah, and this is on August 4th?
No, it was the 5th.
August 5th. It was the 4th.
No, you're right. It was the 4th.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting, and I don't know, it was almost like, oh shit, here we go. So we're going to be induced, and now we got to deal with this storm. It's like a bad omen, I guess, if I'm using that correctly. It was just like, all right, hopefully tomorrow goes according to plan. But so we sit down, and I think we were starting to think about dinner as we're watching the craziness happen outside, where it was just completely, like, the sky was like, I don't know, like a gray, you know, like a storm gray, and the winds were howling, and all of a sudden the power just went out.
Yeah, and that was the first time, well, the power went out and it didn't come back on right away. I think it flashed on at some point, like an hour or so later. So we're like, oh, okay, good. And then it was gone again. And that was the first time that happened to us in the house where, like, we lost power for, like, a legitimate amount of time where it didn't come back on immediately. So we were like, of course, you know, we have to make sure we have our bags ready and everything to go because we have to get up early in the morning.
Yeah, and I remember that I was playing Call of Duty, I think. I'm almost positive I was. You wasn't were. Really looking out the window. I was probably glancing out and also playing PlayStation. Just knowing that was going to be my final night of just not having to run upstairs or not having to check on you, not having to check on the baby. Mm-hmm. Just be able to, like, sit there, scream at the TV and say how much I hate Call of Duty as I'm playing it all night long.
Yep.
And then the power goes out right in the middle of the game. It was like I was short. I was, like, shorted that experience, you know?
Yeah.
So the power goes out. Then we had to think about what to eat. And I know that we ended up using the grill. And you were probably, like, running around the house trying to find flashlights and candles. And we were making sure our phone was charged. I think we even started, like, running the cars out in the driveway just to charge our phones.
Yeah, we went for a walk after, like, the storm had passed. Just up and down our street, and I needed to charge my phone, so we just turned the car on in the driveway, and I had my phone charging in there, and then when we came back, you put your phone in there, and we just sat inside, and I went around and got, like, all the flashlights we had, and, like, all these candles, like, fake candles.
Yeah, so I guess it was kind of romantic in a way. Just kind of, like, sitting and having, like, our last meal and just, like, pure candlelight dinner.
Literally a candlelight dinner was our last meal.
But
we had to improvise, too, because we had to use the grill.
Yep, which wasn't a big deal, but you're doing it in complete darkness. And it was just not what you were expecting, I guess, or what I was expecting. But so now I remember going to bed and you're nervous to begin with because you know what's coming up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. At least I was, and I can only imagine what was going through your head. And it's just different because there was nothing to take away that, like, fear, or there was nothing to distract you because you didn't want to be on your phone because you didn't want to waste battery.
Mm-hmm.
Then, there, you know, you couldn't turn the TV on.
Yeah.
You couldn't really turn on, like, a radio or anything like that. I don't even know who has radios plugged into on their nightstand anymore. But it was just weird. You're, like, sitting there, laying there in bed with your thoughts and just kind of, like, watching the hours tick away, and you're like, okay. And I remember your doctor wanted us to get there at, like, a crazy early time just to get the process started. So we had to get up at, like, I don't know. Do you remember, like, 5:30?
Yeah, something early, because I think we were trying to be there by 7 o'clock because I guess there were a lot of people in the maternity ward. So my doctor wanted to make sure I got in there sooner so that I got a room quicker and we could get things started.
Also, you had to get the COVID test before they could do anything with you in terms of the induction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the whole night, I feel like both of us were probably, like, in and out of sleep, and we would just look and see that we still didn't have power back. We had the windows open because it was August, so it was hot.
That's true. We were counting on the power to come back because, like you said, it's never been out like that, so...
Yeah.
It was like, oh, any minute now, the power's going to come back on. Any minute now, any minute now. And then it's like 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning. You're like, oh, man, maybe I should just go to bed.
Yeah, and before we went to bed, that's how we were, like, all night, just waiting for the power to click back on because we've never lost it for more than, like, an hour.
And I remember just saying, like, laying there in the silence, you know, tomorrow or 3 days from now, whenever we get discharged from the hospital, it's not going to be like this. We're going to hear wham, 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 like poop everywhere, pee everywhere. So it was like just taking it in for the last time.
Yeah.
But all right, so cut to the hospital.
Yeah.
We pack so many bags, so many pillows, and your doctor told us, or we were instructed throughout the entire pregnancy, once we're in, you're in, especially for me. Obviously, you're going to be in there. You got a job to do, but I'm not allowed to leave the room. So whatever you walk in with is what you have. So I remember you packed all the pillows and all the clothes.
Yeah, so we packed a bunch of clothes. We packed some pillows, blankets, and we had the car seat. So we just had so much stuff. But it's because with all the COVID regulations, we literally weren't allowed to leave the room. So if Andy left, then he wouldn't be back until it was time to pick up me and the baby. So we had to bring everything with us on the first trip.
Yeah, that damn car seat. I almost feel like I forgot about it. It was a good thing we, like, preset the car seat maybe even a month or two in advance, because if we didn't do that, it would have been easy for me to forget walking in with it, because I wasn't used to having a baby, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, so we get to the hospital on time. It's like around 7. And with the whole COVID thing, it's all interesting checking in. Like, there were two nurses right outside the entrance I was supposed to go into. They take my name, ask where I'm going, whatever, take my temperature. And I tell them that Andy's waiting in the car for me. So then they send me in and I go up. And thankfully, they had a room ready for me like the second I went in there. So I was like, oh, this is great. So I was able to call Andy and say, hey, you can come in now because...
Well, we were warned that wasn't really, like, the norm.
Yeah.
Most people had to wait a couple hours. Right. So I think my mom told me she had a coworker whose daughter was, you know, she was pregnant and she just gave birth recently. And the husband had to wait 3 to 4 hours before he was allowed in mm-hmm. because they were waiting for the test results and they get a room. So when we woke up in the morning, I was kind of counting on being able to come home and play Call of Duty. Like, I dropped you off and it was almost like... dropping your kid off at school on the first day, you're like nervous, like, oh, do well. Like, I remember kissing you and like sending you off and then just watching you clear the door before I drove away. And then I drove to the parking deck, parked the car, and I was just gonna eat breakfast because I know we picked up Duncan on the way there just to have something, especially because we didn't have any power at home. So I remember, like, all right, what am I gonna do? Like, just sit here, I'll eat. And then you text me within minutes, you're like, all right, come up. I was like, oh shit, like, game time.
Yeah, so you know, they bring me to my room, and then obviously they guide Andy, and he gets up there too, and, you know, they just get me, like, strapped in with the heart monitor to check on the baby's heart, make sure the baby's doing well. It took 3 tries to get the IV in my arm. That was absolutely miserable. Your veins are tiny. Ugh, that was not a fun time. They did 2 pokes on my left arm, and it didn't work, and they finally got it on my right arm. Yeah. So my whole left arm had like bruises all over it for like 2 weeks after giving birth.
Yeah, I feel like you bruise pretty easily anyways.
Yeah. So yeah, and then as far as the COVID test, they don't do like the really intense one. It's just a nasal swab because I was, you know, asymptomatic. I didn't have any symptoms of it. So they just do the little nasal swab. And so they do that and it comes back and it's negative. But yeah. I remember too, like right after I got the COVID test, I think that's when my doctor came in. She's like, she thought that we got to the hospital late. She's like, you were supposed to be here at 7. I'm like, I was here at 7, well, but things just...
I feel like the results took forever to get back, so they couldn't start anything. So by the time your doctor got there, she was like mad at us. And I was like, yeah, relax. Don't get mad at us because... we were here right when you told us to be here. I think we walked in at like 6:45.
Yeah, that's what we told her. We were like, I swear, we were here on time, but like, you know, it took a while to get the IV and like they can't start the whole induction process until after my test results. So it just took some time for everything to get in. So
So your test results come back. And I just remember actually walking in the door for the first time. It was just... of real like shock factor because I'm carrying all these bags are wrapped around my neck. Hands are full. I walk in the door and you're sitting with like your hospital gown on in the bed, strapped up to a million things. And I see like the mask is on your face and there's like nurses walking around you. And I was like, man, this is really happening. And you know, you're just like scared too. Like I was scared for you and the baby. And I was just kind of like, I don't know, you don't know what to expect. And you know, you're there. So it's like, when is this baby going to come? How long is this going to take? Is this going to take a day, 2 days? You just don't know what you're in store for. It was just kind of like the fear of the unknown.
Yeah. My doctor did tell me, she was like, I don't want you being in labor for like 2 days. I'm like, good, because I don't really want that either. So yeah. I wasn't expecting to be in labor for that long. She really tried to like, you know, move things along throughout the whole process.
She was a bulldog, and that's not even the nickname we came up for her. The nurses called her that. They're like, oh, she's a bulldog, but she was awesome. Like, thank God she was your doctor. I feel like she did such a great job, but she means business, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, she definitely does. Like we said, she was upset with us thinking we got there late. Right. And it's like, no, it wasn't our fault. It just took a while for me to get the test done and then for the results to come in. The IV took a while. So
even when she said that, I was like, what do you mean we're running late? Like, is there a schedule for this? Like, does she know exactly when this baby is coming? Like, I think we're okay. We're in the hospital. We're in the right place. The baby will come when it comes. I was just kind of like, what does that mean? Now we're behind schedule. She kind of freaked me out.
I think what she meant by that is just that, like, you know, she wanted to get things moving so that we wouldn't be there forever trying to have a baby. So I think she just wanted things to be moving along quickly. So, so actually before the doctor came in, the midwife that's in my practice, she came in and checked on me just to see how things were going. And then, like we said, the doctor came in, and after she came in, things really got started. They gave me this oral pill that, like, dissolves. And so apparently your cervix has to do two things when you're about to give birth. It has to dilate and it has to soften. So the oral pill I got was to help soften it. And then they put this thing called a Foley bulb inside of me that helps to dilate the cervix. And that was a very interesting thing to see.
Yeah, I'm
when
just
it came out
there.
Hours later.
Hell yeah. I'm like, wait, you're putting a bulb in my wife's vagina? They're like, oh no, the cervix and the vagina. I'm like, wait, there's two bulbs? I'm like, what the hell? So then I think I even asked, I'm like, what happens if it's like a balloon? It's not like a light bulb where it's like plastic or glass. It's, well, I guess it's kind
of
like
some sort of like plastic.
Yeah, but
and part of it goes past my cervix.
But it's not like hard plastic.
Yeah. Past of it goes, the top of it goes past my cervix into the uterus. And then there's another part. So there's two parts that basically get filled up with saline. So each part, it's like two little balloons that push against my cervix, one from in the uterus and one from outside of it. So it pushes against it to get it open. So, you know, obviously it goes in there and it's empty. And then once it's placed, then they fill it with saline. So we didn't see it filled until hours later when it was time to come out.
Well, yeah, and then I asked them, I was like, what happens if that thing pops? And they're like, what? They're like, I don't know. They're like, that's never happened before. Let's hope it doesn't happen now. I'm like, okay, great. Like, whatever. But so yeah. Now you have this, like, rod that's pretty much taped to your thigh. That's two balloons on the end of it,
yeah,
just
it was
inflating,
like,
inside you.
Three little tubes that were hanging out of me, taped to my thigh. And then, like I said, I have the heart monitor strapped around my belly. I have an IV. So one thing that happened a lot during my labor was, for some reason, I had to pee, like, nonstop, right? I was, like,
yeah,
in and out of the
trust
bathroom.
Trust me, I remember, because I had to carry all of your your IVs and, I don't know, basically wipe your butt for you sometimes.
Pretty much.
It's, like, hard to remember you with a belly, too. I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, it must not have been that hard for you to move into the bathroom, but now I'm picturing you with the huge belly.
Massive,
like,
belly.
Yeah, trying to, like, waddle your way over to the bathroom and spin around through all the wires and tubes and sit on the toilet and come back. And that was, it's crazy what goes through the whole pregnancy, like, delivery part.
Yeah, so, you know, going to the bathroom to pee was super annoying nonstop because it was just such a process. Because it's like we had to unplug ourselves from the heart monitor. Like, Andy had to help me put it over my shoulder so I don't, like, drip anything into the toilet.
Remember, I kept doing it wrong, too? You're supposed to plug it in and hit a button. And they're like, oh, you didn't hit the button.
Oh,
and I was well, what the hell? I don't know how to work this machine.
Yeah, the heart monitor thing, you had to, like, press a button because sometimes, I don't know, it won't, like, read correctly or whatever. So the nurses will come, like, running in. It's like, oh, you just had to press this button.
Yeah,
whoops.
Okay.
Sorry, we forgot to press it again. Like, we definitely messed that up a lot, but
yeah,
whatever.
But whatever. But so you took the pills in your mouth and dissolved them, what, they were 4 hours they're supposed to take?
Yeah, so then I think they gave me another, like, half dose, like, later on. But, yeah, a few hours into it, I don't remember exactly how many hours in, they, like, came to check the bulb and it wasn't ready yet. And then I guess it had to come out at a certain time. So once we got to that point, they go and they're like, oh, yeah, you're 5 centimeters, like, it's ready. And they pull this thing out, and this is when we see it filled. And it
was... Yeah, and it looked like a clear balloon that... It was wild. It was so wild. it just, like, fell out, too. The only reason it was in you was because it was taped around your leg.
Yeah. So that was very interesting.
Did they break your water at that point?
After they pulled it out.
Like, right then, though, right? Yeah, that was crazy, too.
Yeah, so after they took the Foley bulb out, that's when they broke my water for me. And for me, that was a very odd feeling because it literally just felt like I was peeing all over myself, but like a massive like waterfall amount of
and like pee. It wouldn't stop either. Like there was no end to it. It was just like straight waterfall that kept going.
Yeah. Ugh, that was
it's like I so thought for a weird. Second the baby was gonna come out on like a water slide. Like
yeah,
like surfing its way out of your vagina. I was like, okay, is this gonna stop flowing out? But I remember when they're like, all right, we're gonna break your water. You're like, okay. So you sat up almost like a catcher, like a catcher's position in baseball, but kind of like on your back. And she like put her hand there and like went up and did what she needed to do. And I was like, oh, she's really going in there. She's all right. She's really like.
I think she had this like hook thing.
Oh, that God, that's I didn't see that. Yeah, Captain Hook down there.
No, it's just like this plastic long hook thing that goes through God. And breaks the sack.
But I remember you like sitting up and I think I was holding your hand or rubbing your back. I remember you like squeezing me and I couldn't tell if it was hurting you. Did it hurt?
No, it didn't hurt actually. No.
Felt like it was maybe pressure for you. But yeah, then all of a sudden you hear the gush and it's just like a waterfall like you were saying. That was really crazy.
Yeah.
So after that, she started giving you the Pitocin?
I don't know if it happened right away or if it was a few hours later, but yeah, basically the next step with the induction was they would give me Pitocin, which would help to move the labor along and really get like the contractions going and stuff. Because during this whole time, actually, I didn't mention it yet, but during this whole time when they started the induction, you know, the nurses would come in and check on me, the midwife, the doctor. They would come in and check on me and be like, oh, how are you doing? Like, where's your pain at? And, you know, they use a rating scale where, like, 10 is, like, the absolute worst pain. And, like, in the very beginning, I'm like, oh, I think I'm at, like, a 2. Like, it kind of just feels like some period cramps. And then throughout this whole process, all the way up until my water breaking, they would keep coming in to check on me. And I was still like, yeah, I'm at, like, a 3 right now. Like, I was having contractions, but they just really weren't that intense for those multiple hours.
I'll never forget the look on their faces. They're like, a 3? Who are you, Wonder Woman? They couldn't believe that you weren't in pain. They really couldn't. Like, your midwife, your doctor, the nurses. It was really cool. And then also, I don't know. I was like, so does that mean the baby's not going to come for a long time if she's not in pain? It was just crazy. But I don't know if we mentioned this, that Foley bulb, it's supposed to come out on its own after you're 5 centimeters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where they want you to get to is 5 centimeters. And again, we're not experts at all. So if anybody listening to this is a nurse or a doctor, please don't hate mail us. We're doing our best. We're not telling anybody like any medical advice, but this is just all from my memory. And I think that's what they told us. It would fall out on its own at 5 centimeters. Yeah. And then from there, the Pitocin eventually that they give you will expand your cervix, right?
I think it helps with that too. I don't know. I know it's something that just helps continue the labor, like let it keep going and moving right along. But I don't know exactly what it does, but
yeah, but so now your water is broke and now I think they had to start you on Pitocin because what else is there? Maybe she waited a little bit longer, yeah, but I feel so like I it guess, wasn't soon after.
Yeah, so I guess after that was when they started it. And so it must have been later on, like it was like nighttime on Wednesday already. And they started the Pitocin and the nurse, you know, would come in and be like, all right, I have to give you some more. Like, your doctor wants you to have more.
Well, they kept asking you, what's your pain? And you're like, a 2 or a 3. And they're like, what? And then finally your doctor was like, amp it up. Like, let's go. Turn the dial. Let's get this baby out now. And we're like, is that medically safe to do? Or are you just getting impatient? But obviously she knew what she was doing. Yeah. But that's when I feel like, and you'll tell us, that's when I could notice sitting in that little chair that you were starting to like get, I don't know, contractions. You were starting to feel it at that point. And I remember that was starting to make it a little bit scary. And it's just hard when someone you love is in pain and there's really nothing you can do besides just like try to comfort them.
Yeah. So after they broke my water, I know I like my pain didn't really like amp up more. I'm convinced that it really started to amp up once they started giving me the Pitocin, once I started getting that through the IV, I'm convinced that that's what really amped up my contractions and started putting me in pain. So I have said to Andy, I am kind of curious, like, for a future pregnancy, if I go into labor naturally, I'm kind of curious to see what my pain level is like, because, you know, like, I'm just convinced it was the Pitocin that really put me into that kind of pain.
But it took a couple hours, because even with the Pitocin, right, you were fine. Like, maybe you were starting to feel like a 4 out of 10, but they were still in shock that you weren't, mm-hmm, like, hunched over, like, rocking back and forth, sweating. You were just kind of like, eh, just laying there.
Yeah, I think it was, like, probably past or around midnight, maybe, was when I, like, was really starting to, like,
yeah,
be in pain.
But so once you got in pain, I remember you would stand up and you would, like, bend over on the bed, and we took these, I don't know, like, comfort classes. Mm-hmm. And so you brought a scarf, and I remember twisting around your hips and, like, trying to push on your hips, like, to compress them.
Yeah.
And that was helping you a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
And then you would get the peanut ball, like a little medicine, or not a medicine ball, but like a big workout ball, like a big rubber ball.
Yeah, we had a medicine ball.
Yeah, and you would sit on that, and that would help you.
But yeah, and I just remember even like taking my trips to go to the bathroom at that point, like sometimes, like the contractions obviously started coming much faster and closer together. And like I said, the pain really had amped up at this point. So, just going to the bathroom, I remember there were times where, like, Andy would follow me, and I would just have to sit there before I could get up, because, like, a contraction would come, and I'm like, I can't move right now. I need to just sit here. And, you know, I was aiming to give birth naturally and not get an epidural, but it just started. Like, I was trying so hard, even the nurse told me, like, you know, just count to four, like, breathe through the contractions. And I was trying so hard, but I was getting to a point where I was like, I don't think I can just breathe through these. Like, they're really, really intense now. Well, and I was like, I don't know how much longer I can, you know, feel what I'm feeling.
And now I think it's close to midnight and you're really in pain. Like, I have never seen you, because you're such a strong person. Like, you're so much stronger than I am, and I feel like you can just take so much pain or whatever. Just, I've never seen you in pain, ever, since I've known you. And even throughout the entire, like, delivery at that point, you were still, like, such a rock star. So when you were really feeling it that much, it was, like, I felt like, I know you didn't want an epidural, you weren't against it, but if you could do it without it, that's kind of what the plan was.
Yeah.
And I think the nurse came in late at night. Now, like I said, it's close to midnight.
Yeah,
and she's like,
I think it was like around 1 in the morning at this point, or right, something.
So now we're kind of happy also that the baby's gonna come on our anniversary. Yeah. But I remember she said, like, you need to make a decision. It's either now or never, basically. Then she just left. There was no, like, asking her questions. I feel like they probably do that for a reason. But
yeah, I think she just wanted to give us privacy so we can,
yeah,
like,
but
decide.
It just happened so fast. It was like, all right, do you guys want it or not? Let me know. I'll be right outside.
But also, I was really quick. The second she walked away, I was like, I'm getting it. I can't, like, I don't think I could do this much longer. I'm getting the epidural.
Yeah, yep. And I was obviously in full support of whatever you wanted to do. So we called her. She was like, okay. Then it's like they went in, like, fast forward. She started moving fast. She called the guy. The guy came wheeling in. And I don't know. Like, it was just weird. They made me sit on the bed. I wasn't allowed to touch you or be near you because they're working with your spine and they don't want, like, me to move you by accident. It's so crucial that you stay still.
Yeah. Well, they kept telling me I had to stay still. And at this point, I know I've had somebody that asked, like, if getting the epidural hurt. But my answer to that is, honestly, it didn't bother me much because the contractions were just taking over so much at that point that, like, I was just focused. It was so hard to not move with those contractions. And, like, the one thing with the epidural that was tough is I did feel something in my back and I kind of jumped, but that's because the anesthesiologist, he didn't, like, warn me. Like, I wish he'd given me a warning.
Well, he told you it was going to pinch, but I don't know if he told you, all right, here it comes. Maybe he didn't want to. Because at one point before he put it in your back, you had a contraction. And he was like, you know, hun, you got to, like, stay still. Like, like, try to stay still. And the nurse is, like, trying to, like, hold you down, kind of, even though you were sitting with your legs over the bed. He was just, like, I don't know. I think there must be some kind of technique to it, obviously. Like, the guy's a professional, and he did such a great job. But they just put it in your back, and I remember being so afraid of that. Just anytime someone messes with your spine, just me watching you go through it sucked. So you took it, like, such a champ, though. Like I said, you're so brave and strong. But that was done. And I think that really was clutch that you got that, because it's not like it was easy the rest of the way, but like right off the bat, you kind of like calmed down a little. And I remember the nurse saying to us, it's not going to be long. You guys should sleep if you can. And now remember, we lost power the night before and we were nervous, so we didn't sleep the night before. Now it's like 1, 2, getting close to 3 in the morning. I was trying to sleep as best I could, but like, I remember the pain was really starting to rev up on you again. So it's like, you're not sleeping, obviously. I'm not sleeping. And your doctor came in and they put a, like a peanut ball. Like it's like a medicine ball.
She came in and she checked me to see my dilation, to see how far along I
was. But I remember she also asked you what pain you're in. And you were like, oh, like a 7 out of 10. And she was like, a 7? She's like, who are you? And then I think she literally said, are you Wonder Woman? And she like laughed. She was like, you're incredible. And then walked out. She's like, I want you to be like a 10 out of 10. This baby needs to come out. So, and I think she said her dilation was like around 7 or 8.
No, they never said really? 7
I thought she checked
one time. No, they did 5 centimeters when the Foley bulb came out. And then after I got the epidural, she came in, it was around 3 something in the morning, and she checked me and she was like, oh, you're at 10 centimeters. Yeah. So I was like ready, but she wanted, so I read a little bit about this. It's called laboring down. So basically she wanted the baby to drop a little more before I started pushing, because I actually, what I read about this is that apparently if you let the body naturally like push the baby farther down before you start pushing yourself, then you're going to spend less time pushing. So that's when the peanut ball came into play. So the peanut ball is basically like one of those big yoga balls, and it's literally the shape of a peanut. So the doctor wanted me to have, asked the nurses to get me one, so it went in between my two knees, just so I was kind of like spread open, and I guess that must help the baby like move lower down into my pelvis. So she was like, all right, like, we'll get you the peanut ball and we're going to start pushing in an hour. And we were like, okay, so it's happening in an hour.
Yeah, then when she came in, you were like, oh, I'm not in pain, but I'm getting like period cramps. And she was like,
well, I was like, the contractions were like hurting again at that point, because like I felt like they got better after the epidural. And then it got to a point after, like, I got the peanut ball where they were, like, starting to hurt that I, like,
yeah,
I
had to. Yeah, but you weren't, like, in pain like you were before. No, you were just laying there and, like, not moving.
It wasn't nearly as bad as before, but, like, I felt like I was making noises and stuff because I just had to, like, work through the contractions, because they did hurt a little bit again.
Right, so, but what I'm trying to say is she came in and she asked you how you were feeling and you're like, oh, like a period, like period cramps that are like revved up a little bit. And she was like, why didn't you guys tell me the baby could be halfway out? So like, we didn't even know that's what stage you were at yet. So then it was like full court press again.
Yeah, we were waiting. Like the doctor said, oh, I'll be back in an hour to start pushing. So
we were waiting
like,
for you.
Yeah, like I didn't know that we could have just called you like, hey.
Shouldn't you be coming in every 2 seconds checking us? Yeah,
like, hello, I'm like having some pain again, even with the epidural. Yeah,
never been through this crap before. Like, you tell us.
It's our first rodeo. So yeah, I guess she was like, I don't remember if she checked me or something, but she was like, oh, yeah, the baby's here. So we were like,
yeah, that was intense. I'll never forget that. And I remember it's just like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning, getting close to 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because she went out, put on like her whole bodysuit. The other nurses in there.
COVID again. So everyone's got like double masks and like all suited up.
But so I remember there was a team of people in there, like a lot of people at one point. Yeah. But before that, when you were pushing, it felt like, and I think it was just for a little bit, just your doctor, the nurse, you, obviously, and me. And I remember the nurse held your leg up and they're like, all right, dad, hold the other leg. And I was like, ah, shit. Like, now the time has come. I remember thinking, I'm not going to get involved in this whole delivery. I'm going to stand behind you, like, rub your back, hold your hand. But I don't think I'm down with watching, like, the Red Sea part, you know? I'm like, I don't know about this. But when the nurse was like, Dad, you hold the leg. Seeing what you were going through and what you were about to go through, I wasn't going to chicken out. I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm too scared to do that. So I remember like, okay. Then I remember as you were pushing, the nurse was like, Dad, look, look, it's your baby. And I was trying so hard not to look because I was just looking at you, telling you like, you're doing a great job. Just count to 10, like, you know, trying to be like coaching you up, I guess, or just comforting you. And she was like, look, Dad, your baby. And I was like, oh, man, all right. And I looked and I was like, damn. Like, all right, actually, it wasn't bad. It wasn't anything. Like, I heard of stories of people fainting and all that stuff. It wasn't bad. It was kind of, it was really cool, actually. And not something I want to see every day. But I was like, all right, like, this is so crazy. Like I said in our previous episode, it's such a miracle. It was like an honor to be able to be that close and like just watch you do that. And it was just so cool.
Yeah. And I remember before all this that I was thinking, like, I don't think you should go down there and look and watch it, because I honestly thought you'd be one of those people that would pass out.
Yeah, it was not part of the plan, but whatever.
But like you said, you couldn't really chicken out, because here no. I am, like, in labor for 19 hours and in a bunch of pain towards the end of it.
Yeah, and once it was happening, I was happy to be doing that, obviously. Yeah. Like, I would do anything for you, so...
I do remember, too, because, like, so they were telling you to look, and I do remember, I don't know if you remember this, that they asked me if I wanted to feel, like, the baby's head.
Oh, I don't remember that.
While it was, like, coming out, and I was like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
like,
that's probably a good move.
I was at the point where I was like, I just want to not be in pain right now. I just want to get this baby out.
Well, I remember they're like, all right, you know, if it's a boy or a girl. And we're like, no. Then we told them the story as you're pushing about how I knew and you didn't know. So they mm-hmm. thought that was really fascinating. And she was like, all right, when it comes out, Dad, you announce it to Mom. So I'm like, all right. And I'm trying so hard. I remember in my head, do not fuck this up and say he's almost here. Like, don't ruin the gender of this baby right before it makes its entrance into the world. I was so afraid of that. I was more afraid of that than afraid of you going through the delivery at that point. Just because I would never be able to forgive myself, and you would never be able to forgive me. So you're pushing, and I remember seeing the head starting to like peek out, and it was so weird because you don't see like a head, like a human head. You just see like this gray like matter, and I'm like, what is that? Like, there's an alien in there. Like, is that supposed to look like that? And you see it like getting a little closer to you, then go back in as you're pushing. A little bit closer, then go back in. Like, they would tell you 10 sets of 10 seconds and
No, it was 3 sets of 10 seconds.
Yeah,
each.
Sorry. 3 sets of 10 seconds each. And each time you would push in those 10 seconds, the baby would get a little bit closer, then would fall back a little bit, yeah. Like back into you. And so the baby eventually got like its head, like the crown of its head was like out. And I was like, whoa, this is so wild. And also, I feel like I have to say, you did not scream. You did not cry. You didn't cry once the entire time. During the entire pushing time, which you pushed for 45 minutes, you were such a rock star. You were smiling. Like, when you would take your break in between the 10 seconds, you would lay back and just smile. And you were in, like, your own, like, happy place. And I remember seeing that and just being so inspired by you and just being so impressed by you and just thinking, like, this woman, like my wife, can do anything. And it was just so cool, and it was just so powerful. And like, I'll never ever forget the look on your face and just how you did that. It was just really special. But so the baby's head finally is popping out, and I remember looking at the heart rate, and it would drop every now and then because, you know, the baby's like nose and mouth is like pressed against your like wall there. Yeah. Like right at the end of the vagina. So eventually the baby popped out, and like, it came, like, shooting out. Like, the head came out, and the baby just, like, flew out. And I remember the umbilical cord was around the baby's neck, and it, like, tightened as the baby was, like, exiting, and the placenta was still back inside you. And the doctor, like, put her finger in between, like, the neck and the placenta and, like, wrapped it, like off the baby's neck and handed it to whoever she needed to hand it to. And I remember seeing the baby fly over, like, in between us. And I just see, like, its butt, and it starts crying right when it entered the world, which is so crazy. It's just so fast and so much is happening that the baby goes flying by me. And I just see this huge, huge ball sack in between its legs. It's like, whoa. I was like, wait, what's tied between there? What's tied around that? Like, I thought there was circulation getting cut off on the baby's nuts. So I was worried about that, but I guess you said that happens usually.
Yeah, I do remember reading in like one of my pregnancy books or something that I guess it's normal for babies when they're born for their genitalia to be swollen. So that's why our baby had massive balls when he first came out. And that was like the first thing you saw on him.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Flying by.
Yep. So I remember it's like, all right, either I'm really happy and proud that my man's got this huge, like, package down there, or, like, there's a problem. But everybody was acting normal. They, I guess they cleaned him off a little bit. Like, I know they didn't, like, bathe him or anything, but no. They did whatever they had to do when the baby first came out. And then they put the baby down in your chest, and they're like, Dad, announce what it is. And that's when I just lost it and just, like, started crying. And I was like, it's a boy. And then you were crying, and the baby was on you, and just... You were holding it, then, like, the three of us were hugging. Like, I was hugging you, and the baby was in between us. Well, and
I remember, crazy. I remember when they first put the baby on my chest, both of us were like, can we touch the baby? Well,
no, I think we cried first, and then we were, like, hugging each other, and then they're like, touch your baby. And we're like, can we touch it? They're like, yes, they're like, it's your baby. We're like, oh, I don't know what the medical thing is, like. If I'm allowed to touch it.
Yeah, really, but, I don't know.
Do you remember seeing the baby come out of you? Like, I know your head was back, but do you remember them passing the baby between us?
Yeah, I do remember him, like, being passed to go to, like, the weigh station so they could take, like, all his stats. But, like, I don't remember him, like, seeing him coming out. I do remember seeing, like, as I was pushing sometimes, I would see the reflection in, like, my doctor's glasses of, like, what was going on down there. She was, like, massaging to help the baby come out. And I remember they did mention, like, because you said with the heart rate, they did mention, like, possibly having to use a vacuum. But
which I was not trying to see that happen. Like, obviously, I'm sure it's okay for it to...
Yeah, it's safe. Yeah. I remember reading about that, too. But thankfully, we obviously... didn't need to use that. Like, Andy told me, like, Nicole, the baby's, like, right there. Like,
yeah, I kept telling you.
That was, like, giving me more motivation. So I was, like, doing my best to push even harder. Because the thing, too, actually, I didn't talk about this, but with the epidural, you know, I'm not completely numbed out, but I'm numbed out. Like, my legs just felt really tingly. And, like, I was feeling contractions, but much less than what they were before. But, you know, I can't really feel everything that's going on down there. So they're telling me to push. And in my mind, I'm like, well, how do I push? That was, like, kind of confusing to me because I'm, like, kind of numb down there. So it makes it tough to, like, wrap your head around the concept of pushing. So
Well, I know they were saying just treat it like you're going to the bathroom, like you're pooping. Yeah,
and that's what I told myself in my head, too. I'm like, all right, let me just pretend like I'm going to the bathroom. I'm trying to poop. And, like, that's how I'm supposed to push. So I think once I understood that, I think I got much better at pushing.
Oh, you did
the
a great job
out.
The entire time. You only pushed for 45 minutes, which I feel like is awesome. And, like, you were lucky or whatever. Like, you just did such a great job. But I remember kind of thinking, man, I don't know what I'm going to do as I'm watching, like, your vagina part like the Red Sea and... if I see, like, poop come flying out and, like, hit your doctor in the face, you know? I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna be like, whoa, or if I'm just going to, like, try not to acknowledge it. But you didn't poop, which a lot of people are like, shocked by because I know.
Yeah.
I guess that's common.
Yeah, it is very common. I'm honestly shocked I didn't poop. I
Same
thought
here,
I would.
Because you're a big pooper. So.
But, yeah. But but my nurse made me feel really good about it, like when she came in, because all the nurses that we had throughout our stay were amazing, like every single one was great, and that nurse that was there during this whole time, she was like when she first came in, she told us, she was like, I celebrate when there's poop. So she was like, I throw a party when there's poop. So I'm like, all right, I'm glad that she she is happy about poop, but thankfully that didn't happen to me. So
no, it was cool. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm so proud of you. And just, I remember feeling so proud of you. And like I said, just being in shock of you. Like, I love you so much. Like, you really impressed me. And I remember after they put the baby on your chest, they took the baby and put him back in his little weigh station. And I just remember looking at him, and I just put my hand down, like, close to him. And the first thing he did was he put his little fingers, he wrapped his hand around my finger. And I remember, like, dreaming about that day, and that just, like, it hit me so hard. Like, I was crying like a baby. Like, I was sitting there crying with him, just, like, I don't know, not believing this is my son. Like, this is our baby, and he's holding my finger. Like, the first thing he did was hold my finger. It was just so amazing.
Yeah.
And then also just hearing his voice for the first time was just really crazy. I remember thinking about that. How is that going to sound? Just his first, like, wah! And it's like, whoo, going to hear that nonstop from here on out.
Yep.
But that was cool. It was just, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But all right. So I think now is a good time to end our second episode. And then, you know, episode 3, we'll start really digging into our first experience having the baby and taking care of the baby.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go into more detail about our first hours and our first days with the baby in the next episode. And then before we sign off, I wanted to introduce a little segment that we're going to have in each at the end of each episode, which is a parenting success and a parenting fail for every week, because obviously there are always good things and not so good things happening as a parent. So, Andy, you want to share first what your success and fail?
Yeah, I guess I'll go first. And it's fresh in my mind because that happened tonight. So I remember we were trading on and off, like, who was, like, putting him in his little playpen area or pack and play. And I was changing him, and you were taking something either out of the oven or putting something in the oven. And I changed his diaper, which I think had a lot of poop in it. I can't remember if it was that soiled or not, but either way, changed his diaper, wiped up his butt. Like, I put, like, you know, the cream on his butt so he doesn't get a diaper rash. And then I look up and the kid is peeing a stream over his head. It just hits his cheek onto, like, this little pillow he has with, like, his little baby pillow onto the wall in the living room, all in his packing play. And I was like, oh shit. And I'm juggling everything. And I drop, like, whatever was in my hands, and I put my hands blocking his wiener from smacking the pee in his face. And I remember he would not stop peeing. Like, that pee, it was like the Adam Sandler CD. I don't know if you ever heard it. I listened to it as a kid. It was like the longest pee ever, where you just don't stop peeing. And it kept going and going. And I was like, Nicole! And we had shrimp tonight, so you would, like, just dried off shrimp or whatever. Yeah. And so you couldn't really touch anything or touch him.
Yeah, so I came over because you were like, he won't stop peeing. He's just peeing everywhere. And I come over and your hand is just cupped over his wiener. And I'm like,
kid.
I can't touch him. I was just touching raw shrimp.
Anybody that doesn't call their kid a monster is lying to you. Like, I was like, you monster. So soaked, pee everywhere. So I had to change him again and, like, take off his clothes and change his clothes and all that. So that was definitely a failure. Just our friends got us the PTP.
PTP?
Yeah. So I didn't think I had to put it on because I was just about to strap him down in his new diaper. And he freaking got me, little guy. Yeah. But so that was definitely my failure. One of my successes, I feel like recently I found a technique that helps him go back to sleep. So when I, like, lay him on my knees with my, like, knees bent up in the air and he's facing me, I put my hands behind his head and I'll, like, sway back and forth. And I feel like me holding his head instead of just letting him rest on my knees really comforts him or soothes him. So that was, I feel like, a big success because so far, knock on wood, the majority of the time it's worked where it really pretty quickly puts him back out. But you want to tell yours?
Yeah, sure. So I guess I'll start with my success. So my success for this week is I feel like I'm finally in a good routine with, like, his bedtime routine. Like, I feel like this past week I've really been diligent about following a specific routine that stays the same every night to help him get used to understanding, like, okay, it's time for me to go to bed, time for me to go to sleep for a long time, not for just, like, half an hour like he likes to do during the day. So that's my success. And then my failure for this week, so Andy obviously is back at work, so I'm home with the baby all day, feeding him, changing him, all that fun stuff. And the other day I was changing his diaper and, you know, there's poop and pee in there, like typical. And I'm cleaning him up and I got like this little itch like under my nose. So I just like wipe my finger like under my nose. And then when I pull my finger away, I look at it and I see a streak of yellow. And FYI, breastfed babies, their poop is usually yellow. Sometimes it can be green.
And like seedy.
Yeah, seedy. So I look at my finger and I'm like, I definitely just wiped poop across my face, like literally right under my
nose. You are foul.
So then I was like, this is so gross. And I was like so freaked out for the rest of the day. So I'm like, this is disgusting. I just wiped poop on my face without even knowing it.
Yeah, you should go shower now after telling the story.
So that was a major failure for me.
All right, well, thanks for listening to this week's episode of Raining Diapers and Tears. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Tune in next week when we talk about the actual first couple nights with the baby, changing the very first dirty diaper that was definitely rained down on top of us. You can also follow us on Instagram. That's at Raining Diapers and Tears. And you can text or call us at 845-232-0318 with all of your questions, your stories, any advice or tips you have for us, or any topic ideas. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.